Valley of Vision. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel 37. So Sherry and I have been battling with some cold, and you probably can tell that in my voice, so I'll probably not shake your hand when you go out the door, but I'll shake your elbow. But anyway, we'll survive this, hopefully, and you just listen carefully as we talk about the Valley of Vision. You got your place, Ezekiel 37? When you got it, you can stand. While you're standing, before I read this, let me share this scripture with you that I think it's important that you understand what I've been asking to do today. Miss Nellie asked that we pray over this handkerchief. And she has a niece, Patricia, who has bone cancer, and she's at Chapel Hill. The Bible says in Acts 19:12, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, said that from his body were brought unto the sick. It says, from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And certainly the power is in prayer. That's the key. But certainly God uses many things. He talks about any sick among you to anoint them with oil. Done that many times. And so we're going to pray over this handkerchief today, and I'm going to pray over it, and then anyone else that feels led to, it'll be laying here at the altar. But all right, now we're going to read Ezekiel 37, and you know the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. Okay, we'll start with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thy knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and ye will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied that there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And when you read that, you've got to think, an exceeding great army is an army ready to battle. They are strong. They are healthy. They are ready to do battle. And that's what God wants us to do as his church, as his people today. May we pray, and we're going to pray for Patricia today in a special way. Father, I hold this cloth up to you. In fact, I want to take it out of this bag, and I'm going to ask it, Lord, as we pray over it, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I pray for Patricia, who has bone cancer. And Lord, as she's there in that hospital today, Lord, you're the great physician. You're the one who heals. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So I pray that prayer of faith in the name of Jesus today, believing you, Father, for a miracle in this dear lady's life. You've blessed us with doctors and nurses and medicines, but at their best, they're limited. You're unlimited, and you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Father, I as a pastor and these people as a church, we gather together in the power of Jesus' name, and we pray for this dear lady, Patricia, today. And we pray in the name of Jesus for your healing. And, Father, we thank you that we can look out over this congregation, and we know that, God, you hear and answer prayer. We can look at Ray Strickland back there and know that, God, you hear and answer prayer. And, Lord, we can look at others throughout this congregation and say, oh, God hears and answers prayer. And so, Father, we give you the glory and the honor and praise for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you're going to do as we Come now into this new year, 2019. I pray that this will be the year that we'll see, oh God, miracle after miracle. And we claim that miracle, even as Paul claimed for those who were sick. We claim that miracle to happen in each of our lives as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And all God's people said amen. 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 So I'm going to leave that down here if you want to pray. And there's the note of Trisha's name and so forth. I heard about this young man. He was in a valley of vision, I guess you could say. He was a farm boy, and he was growing up hard. It was a hard life working on the farm. He had to plow the fields every day. He was in a valley. He had been sweating all morning. He was tired. He was ready to give up, so he took a break. He laid down under a big old tree, a big shade tree, and all of a sudden, a vision of clouds came up in the sky, and the letters formed. G and P. And he said to himself, oh my, God has called me to go preach. He ran into the house to tell his parents, who were the owners of the farm, and said, Mom, Dad, I was tired. I took a break. I looked up in the sky, and God formed the clouds. G, P. I believe God's called me to go preach. His farmer dad looked at him. He said, son, that means go plow. Now go back to plowing. You know, we've all been through the valleys. And I don't know what God has shown you, but God speaks in the valley experiences. Do you know you will never grow on the mountaintop? No. I remember carrying a group of young adults for many years to the retreats up in Ridgecrest. And they always said, Pastor, can't we stay up here? It's so wonderful. And I said, no, because you'll never grow up here. You grow in the valleys. And that's what God wants to speak to our heart about today, I believe, in many, many ways. The hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, the Bible says. A remarkable prophetic message here. You don't see the word vision, but if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, you'll read, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. That's a beautiful statement. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be known as a person who had visions of God? You know, like Rita sung, not just for the healing, but to know the healer. Not just to know that he saved me, but to know the Savior. Amen? Too many times we focus on God's creation rather than the Creator. We focus on the blessings rather than the blesser. And so here's what I want to say to you today. If Ezekiel, certainly, he was open for God to work in his life, are you open to let God work in your life? The first question I ask a couple when they come to me for marriage counseling, I ask them this question. Everybody, I do the same for everybody. Are you willing to give God a chance to work in your life? And if they say no, then I politely say, don't waste your time, don't waste my time. Because without God, there's no hope, right? Because you're saying, well, hey, I don't need the Lord. But if you're willing to give God a chance today, I want you to listen to this message. Number one, this valley was a valley of reassurance. You see, the vision of the valley of dry bones was given to Ezekiel to reassure the exiles that the promises of God are secure and sure. And I'll tell you something, friend. When God says something, you can count on it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, friend, God don't want anybody perishing here today. That poor guy up there on that picture, he's perished pretty bad. That's really not what's happening in the valley of the dry bones. These bones are scattered all over the place. In fact, as far as Ezekiel could see, he just saw bones laying everywhere. And we're going to talk about how those bones were scattered in just a moment. But first of all, I want you to see the sovereign will of God. You see, Ezekiel said in verse 1, the hand of the Lord is upon me, and he's carried me out. Can you say the hand of the Lord is on your life? One way you can know it is that you're being guided by his strong hand. You know, one way you know that you truly are humble, here's the answer. It's not, humility is not that you let people run over you. Humility is not that you just let people treat you any old way. Humility really is a total dependence upon God, that you get up every morning and say, Lord, I'm not going to make it without you. That's really humility. It's trusting in the Lord, recognizing that his sovereign will, that he is in control of your life. That's what real humility is. I want to be right in the very center of the sovereign will of God in my life. How about you? I tell you, you want God's will in your life, then do God's will for your life. God's pursuing you more than you pursue him. If he can hold the whole world in the palm of his hand, what could he do with you? What could he do with me? God's purpose in putting Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones was to give him and all of Israel the hope they needed, that God was going to keep that covenant with Abraham. He was not going to let his people go. The people felt like they had gone too far. You ever felt like you've gone too far, that you're at the point of no return? Well, God's still in control. Our nation may look like there's no hope. It may look like right now there's no chance of a greater awakening happening in our country. But there is hope, friend, because of the sovereign will of God. And God's will is to hear our prayer, to forgive our sin, and to do what? Heal our land. That's God's will. He gives us the threefold will of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Not only the sovereign will of God, but the Spirit's work of God. Notice it says, he was led out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. It may be the Spirit of God working in your life to get you still long enough so as to speak to you. I've been in many, many, many hospitals over the years, and I've had many people say to me, well, preacher, God's got me looking up. Well, maybe that's true, because sometimes God has to get us still long enough to get our attention. And by the way, church, God can get your attention. Oh yeah, he knows how to get your attention. You let just a natural disaster take place and it gets all of our attention. I mean, just anything. It's like we're very fragile beings. God's Spirit is often working in the valleys of our life to teach us, to get us to the place where we can be still long enough to know that God is God. We have a problem with that in our society. We don't know how to be still. We've always got to be doing. We've always got to be moving. We got to go here and do there. B-U-S-Y, bound under Satan's yoke. We're busy people today. What if we would be still long enough to let the Spirit of God move? Revival could happen. It really can happen. Here in this place, there's mercy and grace to refresh every soul. And then the spoken word of God. Here's what I really want to get to today. Because here's what Ezekiel did. He did what God told him to do. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind. The key here is that Ezekiel obeyed by speaking the word of God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And again in verse 10, and I prophesied as he commanded me. Now, if I was Ezekiel, I'd have to say, now, Lord, could I just ask you some questions? Do you see someone out there that I don't see? I mean, I put myself in Ezekiel's shoes, and I'm looking out over this big, huge valley of nothing but dry bones, and I'm thinking, Lord, do you see somebody out there that's breathing? You see something that I don't see? And God did, didn't he? Now, all Ezekiel could see was dry bones. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? Preach to the bones. That's what he said. Preach to the bones. I think Ezekiel would have every reason have said, well, Lord, far be it from me to tell you what I ought to do. But Lord, before we start, can I just point out something? These bones, they don't got no ears. And Lord, these bones, they don't have no eyes. They have no mouths. And Lord, those bones, they ain't got no brains. I mean, wouldn't this be a wasted effort? I mean, this is a good sermon, I think. And you want me to preach to bones? And God said, preach to the bones. Church, I'm trying to make a point. When God tells you to do something, just do it. It may not make sense. God told Joshua to walk around with the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho and don't say a word. That had to be hard. That Baptist couldn't have done it. They'd had to say something. But when God tells you to do something, you're to do it how? Exactly the way God said do it. And he told Ezekiel, preach to the bones. Lord, as they say in the church, This is an unusual circumstance we've got here. God will often ask you to do something that's difficult, that will put you through a tunnel of chaos, through a valley of dry bones, through something difficult so he can show you what he wants to show you. So Ezekiel answered the question God asked him in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And the answer is right here for us today as we obey his command to speak his word wherever we go. The answer is an obedience to the word of God. Obey God's word. God's word is powerful enough to bring life out of death. Amen? That's the power of the word of God. We can speak God's word of life into people's life, or we can speak our words of death. And the Bible says out of the mouth speaks words of life or death. What word are we speaking into people's life? I want to speak the word of God. The promise is that his word will never return void. This hope extends to us as well through Jesus Christ. We are made alive through hearing and believing the word of God. So folks, you got to recognize today, there's power in the word of God. All Ezekiel did was speak the word of God, and life came into dry bones. The Valley of Revelation. Before we move on, we're going to give you three words today. The Valley of Reassurance, the Valley of Revelation, and then the Valley of Resurrection. But here's the Valley of Revelation. It was a valley of disjointed bones. Notice what he says in verse 1, the last part. The valley was full of bones, and bones were all over this place. This bone was not connected to this bone, and that bone won't connect to this bone. There were just this was Bone Valley. This was a valley of chaos. Nothing was organized. Bones laying everywhere with no order whatsoever. Just a valley full of dry bones. God has to reveal to Ezekiel the condition of the house of Israel. Ezekiel got a vision of disorganization. Bones were scattered all over the place, accomplishing nothing, going nowhere. The house of Israel was out of order according to Ezekiel and to God. It is easy for people to do their thing, their way, in their time. The only thing wrong with doing things your way, your time, in your place or whatever, doing your own thing, is that's what kills a church. It kills a church when we are not organized. The Bible says you're to do everything decently and in order. People going in a hundred different direction, and that results in chaos. Free will without order or rules is chaos, and that results from evil. I learned that from Jeff Bailey. I'll give him credit for that. That's what chaos is. It's when there is no order, when there is no rules, and it results in evil. Proverbs tells us, without vision, people perish. The nation of Israel, according to Ezekiel 37, had perished. That was the picture of Israel, a bunch of bones, dry bones. And then it was a valley of not just dry bones, but it was a valley of disjointed bones. Somehow those got mixed up there. But anyway, they were dry and they were disjointed. They were all over the place. Here's the dry bones. He says, and lo, they were very dry. In verse 2, not only does God reveal to Ezekiel that the bones were disjointed, but that they were dry. You've ever experienced some dry times in your life? You ever been through a time where you thought, God, where are you? It just seems like you're nowhere around. I remember years ago, where I used to be, it was Clay. And I visited this guy's house one day, and I said, I don't understand it. We've not had rain here for weeks and weeks on, and yet your garden flourishes. I said, the earth is all cracked up. He said, Pastor, you've got to get used to clay soil. He said, there's moisture down in there, and that's why my garden is flourishing. And when he was telling me the story about how his garden just seemed to flourish, even under dry circumstances, I got to thinking about we Christians, when we go through a dry spell in our life, we need to understand that we've got the word of God here to nourish us. We've got the fellowship of other Christians. You might be going through a dry spell, but I'm going to tell you, God is he is the water of life. He's the fountain, and he's the water that comes out of the fountain. I mean, he's everything that you need. You may be going through a dry time. Your life may be chaos, but I'll tell you, God knows how to put things in order. Satan loves it when we are not well rooted in the Word of God. He loves it when we're not drawing from the strength of His Word and from prayer. How easy it is to become cold and dry and discouraged. If you're going to thrive as a Christian, you're going to need to stay close to the fire of God. And we need the fire of God to burn within our souls, friend. I love what Jeremiah said. He said, there's a fire in my bones. And I'll tell you, that's what God wants to do in your life. You don't have to go to a funeral home to die. You ever thought about it? And there's a lot of dead people out there, a lot of dead Christians. And that's my third point, is a valley of dead bones. Not only were they dry and disjointed, they were dead. I said they were dead. Verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Well, if he asked me, he asked whether these bones can live because they were dead. We've all been to Dead Bone Baptist Church. They were dead. I mean, so dead the dogs don't want anything to do with them. That's pretty dead. I heard about this church. It was so dead. They literally had a person to die during the service. And someone called 911. And when the medics came, they took three other people out before they got to the one that was dead. It was so dead. That's a dead church. I don't want to be in a dead church. But this was Dead Bone Baptist Church. These people were dead. That's pretty bad when you're that dead. Now, when Ezekiel read what God gave him, when God gave him the word, things begin to happen. Now, before I go on to my last point, and I'm moving quickly today, I want to ask you something. Do we know the outcome of this story? We've read it, right? We know what God can do. Now, y'all follow me because you're fixing to be all participators. I refuse for me to be the only one speaking today. So now all of y'all got to start speaking. Because you see, we've read the Word of God. We have the account of Scripture. We've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. We've read about our Lord. Yes, it was on Friday. It was on Friday they crucified him, but Sunday was a coming. Amen. And we know that Sunday came, and he got up from that grave. So it's not like we're ignorant and unlearned people. I want you to think with me in that a moment. We've read this story. We know the story of his resurrection. We know the story in the back of the book. Our answer must be more than just we win. So I don't know if you call this three-part harmony, but this is how I would lead something. I'm not a music director, but I'm going to lead. So the question was to Ezekiel. The question was, son of man, can these bones live? So I want you folks in this section here to say yes, yes, yes. Can you do that with me? Yes, yes, yes. All right. I want you folks, I don't know how to make it any easier than this. All you got to do is say, Lord. Can y'all say, Lord? Lord. Lord. That's all you got to do is just say it loud now.
Lord.
All right. Let's see if they're any better than you are. Can y'all give me three yeses?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was all right.
Lord.
All right. Now I need you folks on this side to say yes twice, okay? I guess I figure those people over must be smarter. They got to say it three times. Y'all only get to say it twice. So just say yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
There's somebody that believes yes. Say it one more time. Yes, yes. Yes. So here's what we're going to do. When the Lord asks you, what he asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? You say,
yes, 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 Lord,
yes, yes,
yes, yes,
Lord, yes, 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 Lord, yes, yes.
Do it again.
Yes, yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Amen, y'all got it. There ought to be some excitement in God's house because we've read the back of the book and we know that he can do it. Amen. It's not a matter, Lord, you knoweth. Well, God knows all things. But look up here, church. We know what he's done for us.
Amen.
Did he save you?
Yes.
Yes. Lord.
Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord. Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. And when you know that, when you're going through a valley, you need to say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, y'all have a song like that. How's it go? Oh, just like that. I know I've heard, I thought I heard that somewhere. The choir done that? Choir's done that. I'm learning from the choir. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. When God puts you through an experience, what if we all just said, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. And I'll tell you, then we can get to the valley of the resurrection. Like, preacher, you're already at the third point. You're almost done. I am. All right, the valley of the resurrection is verses 7 through 10. The emphasis here is that Christianity is all about a resurrection faith. We need to point out that God works through people, starting the good news by sharing the good news of the gospel to bring spiritual dead people to life. God's put that in us. I said, God's put that in us. Before I move to my next little point, I want to say this. I know this building out here, and it's a huge building, and it puts our church in a huge debt. I was talking to the superintendent Thursday or Friday. He said, Pastor, we're going to finish a month early. I said, oh, really? Yeah. Well, that month early also means payments due. And so we've got to ask ourselves what God can do. So here's my vision for you. We are building our faith. And I think that ought to be the theme of paying this mortgage off. I think the theme ought to be, and I want your brains to start working. I would like to see, Laura Hash, and y'all can help Laura, a great old big thermometer here, okay? On top of it, I'd like to see we build our faith. Literally, that was a faith. That was a step of faith. We don't have the money. Okay, but we stepped out on faith. So we build our faith, okay? So we literally are building our faith with a thermometer. And on that thermometer, I'd like to say by the end of the year 2019, we'd like to be here. 2020, we'd like to be here. 21, 22, 23, 24, and have it paid off in 5 years. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes. Can God do it? God can do anything he wants to do it. I tell you, folks, I don't want to focus on a dry, dead church because I don't think we are one. Amen? Amen? I believe God wants us to understand that we serve a risen Savior, and because he lives, I live also. But I really would like to see this. I just like the idea of the thought. You're building your faith, and then to see that thing come up and to see our faith, I mean, it's a visual. That is a visual of faith. And when people ride by here, they've got to say, well, that church has faith. Now, some people say, well, they must have money. No, we ain't got no money. We just got faith. And you say, well, preacher, can God do something out of dry bones? Can he get blood out of a turnip? Yes, he can. I won't imply anything there. I won't say in Baptists are tight. I'm just saying this. God can do it any way he wants to do it. Amen? We got to trust him. All right, so I thought I'd have a little fun with you today, if it's all right. So I want you to see the beauty of God. What can God do when people allow God to work? Amazing. He's a miracle-working God, just like Miss Nellie, believing God, gave this to Miss Amy this morning, said, I know the scripture where Paul prayed over a handkerchief, and he believed in miracles. Do we believe in miracles? Amen. Our God is a miracle God. Now, the beauty of God is this. He knows how to put the bones together. Hello? And I thought I would sort of sing that song to you. You know, the foot bone connected to the ankle bone and the ankle bone connected to the whatever. All right, but I'm gonna let the children help us out. So kids, help us out. Children, will you help me? This is a children's song. So all the children, will y'all help me sing this? How many children here today? Oh, we got a bunch of children. Y'all want to come up here and help me sing it, or? Huh? Come on, kids. Come on, all you kids. Come on, kids. Come on, kids. Come on, kids. All the children, come on. Come on, guys. Come on, children. Come on. Y'all move faster than that. Come on. There you go. Zach, you got it. I like fast-moving people. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I was the first one up here.
You. All right. Y'all want to turn around and look at the video? Come on out here. Some of us move on out here. Come on. Don't bunch up, because y'all got to move now. Uh-oh. Come on down here, guys. All right, no Baptist committees down there. There's a spread out. All right, let's do the video. And y'all can help us, everybody. Come on, kids.
Come on. Ezekiel cried them dry bones. Ezekiel cried them dry bones.
Come on.
Ezekiel cried them dry bones.
So hear the word of the Lord. Sing it.
The toe bone's connected to the heel bone.
The heel bone's connected to the foot bone.
The foot bone connected to the leg bone.
The leg bone connected to the knee bone.
The knee bone connected to the thigh bone.
The thigh bone connected to the back bone.
The back bone's connected to the hip bone.
The neck bone connected to the head bone.
Hear the word of the Lord. Them bones, them bones.
Y'all sing it. Them bones.
Them bones, them bones.
All right, now we've learned it.
Bones connected to the neck bone.
Say it.
Bone connected to the back bone.
The back bone connected to the thigh bone.
The thigh bone connected to the knee bone.
The knee bone's connected to the leg bone.
The leg bone's connected to the foot bone. The foot bone's connected to the heel bone.
The heel bone's connected to the toe bone. All right. Thank y'all. I know that put you on the spot. Y'all can go back to your seats. It put you on the spot. I'm sorry, guys, but I just wanted y'all to get it instead of me trying to sing that. Isn't that the beauty of God? That He can take a mess and make a message. He can take chaos, a valley of dry bones, and put them all back together again. That's the beauty of God. Now, notice what it says here in this scripture. There was a sound. I like it when things start shaking. There was a sound. There was a shaking. Can you imagine those bones? They were all coming to get click, 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 click. All those bones, they were coming together. Can you get that picture? I mean, all these bones are coming together. There's a shaking. There's a standing. I mean, here you got the sound of bones clicking together. They're all shaking as they come together. There's also a standing, and then there are soldiers. Soldiers, as a mighty army of God, they're all standing. What a beautiful and powerful God that we have, who raised His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, from the dead. And because He lives, I have hope, I have peace, I have love, I have joy, I have life, I have everlasting life. Look at this scripture in Isaiah 61:3. Look at this verse up on the screen. Can you, I don't know if you can see that or not. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Folks, God gets the glory when He puts lives back together again. Hey, amen. Satan does everything to wreck your life. He wants to take the breath out of the church. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Look at this other verse on the screen. Psalm 133:1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God will always honor unity because we're the body of Christ. He's the head of the body. And if I'm walking with the head and you're walking with the head, guess what? We're all walking together. Amen. There's only one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. How good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And then I want to talk about, not only do we see here the beauty of God, but we see the body of God. In verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Today the church is the body of Christ. We've been purchased with His own blood. We are His prized possession. The key to functioning as the true body of Christ is to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on us in a fresh way. We operate most of the time in a fleshly realm because we don't know much about the spirit realm. And that's the challenge for all of us. It's so easy to get in the flesh because that's what we know. That's our comfort zone. Notice I'm pointing all fingers back to me. But in the church, it don't work. We're to operate in the spirit realm. This is a spiritual work. And if we're going to see God do a miracle work, if we're going to see a resurrection take place in our lives daily and the life of our church, if we're going to stay alive for His glory, we've got to let the breath of God breathe on us. And that's the last thing I got to say, and I'm done. The breath of God. I want to close talking about the breath of God. He says in verse 9, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." I couldn't help but think of Acts 2:2. "And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." The Hebrew word for breath here is ruha, R-U-H-A. Ruha, it means spirit, wind, life, heart, and mind. If we're to have the Spirit of God, if we're to have the wind of God to blow fresh on us as an individual, on our families, and on our churches, friend, we need so desperately for the fire of God to fall in our lives, the wind of God to blow a fresh new wind on us. I believe that when you're saved, you receive God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek word for filled means to be controlled by. And I want to be a controlled by Holy Spirit preacher. I want you to be a controlled by Holy Spirit filled church. That's what we need to function. And without Him, we're nothing but dry bones. I'm going to say it again, church. Without Him, we're nothing but dry bones. Church, we may have the program, and we may be organized, because these bones did get organized. God put all the bones back together, as the children helped us sing. God, that was the beauty of God. He put the bones back together. He has saved us. We are known as the body of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But without the breath of God, we're just bones. Church, we're just bones. We're just a skeleton. We're nothing without the power of God in our life. And I beg of you, and I plead with you, we need a double dose of the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God to fill this place so there's no room for the world, the flesh, or the devil. That God just literally comes and takes over. He comes and He walks up and down every aisle through every pew. I've noticed the last few weeks, no one's been walking this aisle to get saved. It's so easy for us to think that we know better than God. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody can get saved in this church without the Spirit of God. Amen. It cannot happen. You will never see this church grow unless the Holy Spirit of God grabs a hold of a person's heart. The Bible says no man can be saved unless the Spirit draws him. There must be a conviction. And I'm going to pray right now that God would bring His conviction. You know, in my new members class today, we were talking about what is a Christian. And I asked the question, what is it that makes us realize that we've done wrong? And this is from children now. And they said, guilt. Who put the guilt there? God did. And isn't God beautiful to do that? Just like, and I gave the kids this illustration, if you put your hand over a stove, your nerves can feel that that's a hot eye. Don't touch it. Okay, I took the scissors, and I was going to they thought I was going to do it, stick it in my hand, but I got enough sense not to do that, because that causes a lot of pain. Sin causes a lot of pain. It will destroy your life. Satan is doing everything he can to take the breath of God out of the church, and he's winning. We've come up with our programs and our plans as if we're going to twist the arm of God to bless what we've done. And God says, I have no part of it. But when you get desperate and you're in that valley, and when you say, oh God, without the breath of God in my life, I can't do it. I can't make it. And folks, I can't. I don't know about you, but without Him, I know that scripture's true. I can do nothing. But I know with him, all things are made possible. Amen. He parted the Red Sea. He guarded Daniel in the lion's den. He kept the lion's mouth shut. He delivered the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. He made Lazarus, who was dead, to live again. He healed the blind. He made the lame to walk. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. On the third day, Jesus got up from the grave. I've read the back of the book. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We win. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know you can do it. What God can do, that even in the valley of chaos, where bones are just laying all over the place, God can put it together. And then he can... He can breathe the life of his Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we are an exceeding mighty army in the hands of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this church would be an exceeding great army. Not just a people going through the motions. Not people just coming to church to come to church, as Jeff said last week, to check off our list. But God, we're here today because you've touched us and we'll never be the same. Now, God, there may be someone going through a dry time today and they're hurting, they're discouraged. I pray the breath of God would breathe upon them. I pray your Holy Spirit would be welcome in this place right now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to walk up and down every aisle through every pew. And I pray that you'd breathe a fresh breath of God upon every person here today. In the name of Jesus, I ask you this. Every person, whether they're lost or they're saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would draw that lost person to yourself, oh God. I believe that, Lord, the only way we're going to be saved is that we recognize that the Holy Spirit puts that guilt in our heart, helps us recognize our need of you, and we receive Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray with all my heart, if there's someone here today who does not know you, pardon and forgiveness of sin, the breath of God would be upon them, drawing them to yourself today. Lord, I pray for every one of us who name your name today, that we would pray for a fresh touch today. I pray this over this whole congregation as people come to pray over this handkerchief. Lord, I pray that the fresh breath of God would revisit this church in a fresh way, that revival would break out here today. We don't have to have a week-long meeting. God, it can be done today. God, would you send revival? And I pray today there would be a breath of God to breathe upon this church like never before. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe your power. Breathe your grace. Breathe your love all over us today as we worship you now at this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.